Hello and welcome to another episode of Consumer, the European podcast of the Consumer Choice Center. As always, I'm your host, Bill Wirtz, here on episode 152. No guest this week, going solo, and that is because there's some travel coming up for me. I think next week will be solo as well, and then I will have to skip one episode due to vacation. We all need it. And I have these stories, regardless, for you this week. Slovakia tries to enact a foreign agents law, and it's bad news for NGOs. Latvia court overturns gambling restrictions. Good news there. And Switzerland wants to protect its wine growers with more subsidies. So let's get started with this story, which is from the Slovakia or the Slovak Spectator. From foreign agents to organizations with foreign support, coalition party submits anti-NGO bill, anti-GMO bill probably also, but anti-NGO bill. And this is similar to what the legislatures in Russia and Hungary have respectively tried or implemented. And this is a proposal, it says here in the Spectator, SNS, which is the party lawmakers, want to force NGOs to publish information about donations and donors if their amount exceeds the amount set by law, say 5,000 euros a year. MPs are demanding that the provision regarding the anonymity of donors be scrapped completely. Also, organizations that receive money from abroad and that exceed 5,000 euros in 1 year should be labeled as organizations with foreign support. This shouldn't concern those NGOs that solely rely on receiving financial support from EU schemes. Furthermore, they propose extending the involuntary abolishment of a non-profit organization or civic organization in the case of violating any of the newly proposed provisions. This competence would belong to the Interior Ministry. This is a very concerning rule and, of course, is related to the recent government change in Slovakia to the Social Democratic Party, which supports, which is, well, definitely pro-Russia there in its current war against Ukraine, and definitely more of an authoritarian vibe under Prime Minister Fico. And of course, the government is trying to restrict the work of foreign non-profits because they are often contrary to the aims of the government and trying to keep tighter control. Now, as somebody who does this podcast for a non-profit, I can tell you that receiving funding from outside the country you are established in is pretty common for non-profits because they often operate on an international scale. And, you know, if the limit was 5,000 euros, that is not an awful lot of money. There's only so much you can do with 5,000 euros as a non-profit. Try hosting an event, for instance. So it's very quick that a donor from abroad would make an individual donation, or a foundation would make an individual donation that would exceed that amount. And of course, that is very problematic. Of course, also international organizations established in Slovakia would be affected by that. So if you are an offshoot of a larger NGO and you are established in Slovakia, I think that would affect you as well. And the only reason you would be exempt is if all of your funding came from the EU, which is rarely the case. You have nonprofits that receive well over 90% of their funding from the European Union. But if the threshold is this artificially low, then of course it would be difficult to not comply with the law. Also, I can tell you why anonymity is important, because if you donate to causes, sometimes it's good for your enemy. If you donate to Doctors Without Borders, there's nothing bad about it being disclosed that you made a donation of any size. But if you donate to political causes, then you can quickly have a target on your back. Let's say you are a real estate developer and you donate to a cause that argues in opposition to the government. then the government now knows how much money you contributed and that it was you, and could make it more difficult for you to receive permits. And this is sort of how indirectly governments get more information about their opponents and how to try and sabotage them. Also, I mean, anonymity is also important in general for those donations, because if you make a large donation, you give an indication of how much money you have in total, because if you are able to make a donation of, let's say, 50,000 or 100,000 euros, it shows that you are relatively well off. And if that is public, then, you know, it also makes you a target in other ways as well. So this is for the privacy of the donors, that a lot of that information should only be disclosed if both sides want to disclose it. So very bad law there in Slovakia. I know that the Republic of Georgia also has something called the foreign agent law. And this is, you know, even just calling it foreign agent law is so dystopian, because it just assumes that somebody who works for, I don't know, wildlife protection, for a wildlife protection NGO in Slovakia, is trying to undermine the government. And that is just silly. I think it's silly, and it will probably have consequences if this law passes. Slovakia could be the next country to be cut off from EU funding. I mean, Hungary and Poland have sort of experienced that during their rule of law quabbles, and I think it would be a good thing if the European Commission reached a similar decision in this case. Next up, we have news from Latvia. This is coming from ENG-LSM, a public broadcasting service in Latvia, which says on its English site that the court declares Riga's ban on gambling unconstitutional. So this is the municipality of Riga, which is the capital of Latvia, which reversed the permits for most of the casinos in town. Only if you were established within a 4 or 5 star hotel could you continue to operate your casino. And all of those permits were taken back under the guise of public needs. And a lot of those casino operators that were given, I think, just a 5-year notice before they would have to shut down, they sued, and the court gave them the right to continue operating. It says in the article here, 6 years ago, the Riga City Council decided to close down 42 gambling venues in the city center. And last September, it decided to cancel 139 permits for gambling venues outside the city center. They must close within 5 years. The Constitutional Court found that the organization of gambling is a legal commercial activity existing in conditions of free competition. The legislator has given the municipality the competence to assess independently which areas or territories of the municipality should be subject to restrictions on the organization of gambling. The municipality is also entitled to designate an unlimited number of areas in the spatial plan where gambling is not allowed. However, the municipality must comply with the principle of territorial assessment laid down in the authorization granted by the legislature. So this is the Latvian government gave the right to municipalities of deciding areas where you cannot operate a gambling venue, and then Riga City Council essentially uses it to ban gambling completely in all the territories that it controls. And this seems to be one of the push of those sort of public health and neo-prohibitionists that want to ban everything, and that you can listen about in Fun Police, the podcast series that we've done. Gambling was actually the issue of episode 4, season 1. So you can go listen to that on all the podcast players if you're interested more on gambling, where we talk actually about how online gambling has become legal, also following a court case in the United States, and sort of the positive effects of that. And last but not least, Switzerland wants to protect its wine with subsidies. This is information coming from swissinfo.ch, which writes, Swiss wine gets boost to fend off foreign competitors. And this is Swiss wine suffering from foreign imports and free trade agreements. That's at least what some of the producers are saying. Swiss-made wine, it says here in the article, is still the domestic market leader, accounting for 37% of consumption in 2022, but the majority is imported, mainly from Italy, 24%, France, 14%, and Spain, 11%. And these big budget competitors are seen as a threat. Italy alone spends 18 million Swiss francs a year to plug its wine in Switzerland. Fabio Regazzi from Canton Ticino, an important Swiss wine region, said in the Senate. Other politicians argued that the lack of protection and subsidies for Swiss viticulture compared to other sectors such as dairy mean it will not be unduly favored by the new funding, as the government claimed. The money is a helping hand for a sector set to face off even more pressure if a free trade deal with Mercosur countries is signed, added the Senate's Carlo Sommaruga from Geneva, also an important wine region. So they've announced money to boost the promotion of Swiss wine from 2.8 million francs to 9 million francs. And that means a lot more taxpayer money is being spent on products they will end up buying. If you like Swiss wine, drink Swiss wine. If you like French wine, drink French wine. It should be up to consumers to choose which wine they prefer. And I think these sort of measures are... not just very nationalistic and protectionist in nature, did they actually hurt consumers? Because all this promotion that some people are cheering on, that's just a handout to those producers. If it's a quality product, people will buy it, and you have to adapt. I mean, there's some countries where wine growing is just not an option whatsoever, and then producers get together and they try to make these sort of natural wine. And now in Poland, I think in Warsaw, they sell sort of Polish natural wine. If that's a local product you want to buy, you should go for it. But it shouldn't be that everyone, like those that don't want to have any Swiss wine whatsoever and they always buy French, should not have to subsidize with their taxes the consumption of others. I think that is a sensible thing. The government shouldn't pick winners and losers on a marketplace. It should be consumers who get to make those choices. And that is all that I have for you today. Thank you so much for listening. Follow the Consumer Choice Center on X at Consumer Choice C. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook and our Telegram channel, wherever you are able to reach us best, where we can reach you best. And also subscribe to our newsletter by going on consumerchoicecenter.org, and you can find our newsletter there. So subscribe to that as well. As always, I'm your host, Bill Wirtz, and I'll see you Thursday.